Yesterday from the Gemara, the end of Brachas, the Ravashi said, he said a Bracha, he figured out what Bracha to say on his own. So it does not contradict the Gemara in the Megillah, where the Gemara says that Anshe Knesset HaGedol composed all the Brachas and all the Tfilas. You're not allowed to compose your own Brachas, your own Tfilas. So it's a very good Kasha. Maybe a mahalach to answer the kasha. Maybe the beginning of the halach is perhaps the following. There is a din when you put a mezuzah on the door and say you recite a bracha. What if you move into a house that has a mezuzah already? So there's nothing for you to do. So there's no bracha. So the Magan Avraham writes in Orachaim. There is no Magan Avraham Yerodei. The Magan Avraham writes in Arachaim that if a person moves into an apartment that has a mezuzah, he said a bracha, shekadishana b'mitzvah, so it's a man of ladur babayu sheyesh bo mezuzah. So the Achrayim disagree with the Magan Avraham, and they have two points of dispute. One point, the Mishkan is Yankev, has a long tshuva in a sefer Kohelos Yankev. Mishkan is Yankev has a taina. You only recite a when you move into a house and there's a mezuzah, you are in fulfillment of the mitzvah of mezuzah. But you didn't do a maisa mitzvah. So bracha is only recited in connection with the maisa mitzvah. Here there's no maisa mitzvah, so there's no bracha. So the Magen Avraham happens to be l'shitasa here, because there's a Magen Avraham and Hilchas Hadlokas HaNeiros, where the Shulchan Aruch says, there's a machlokes satanoim, Rebbe and Achachamim, and we pass like Rebbe, called Abishum, Mishum Shvus, like Gozra Alabein HaShmashas. Ben Hashmash is on Friday evening going into Shabbos, so whatever is only an Issa de Rabbanon, Tosis modifies an Issa de Rabbanon Kal. You have to divide all these from the Rabbanon into two categories. So it's an Issa de Rabbanon Chomor, you're not Mater. Issa de Rabbanon Kal, you're Mater. Ben Hashmash is, if it's Litzorach Mitzvah, Litzorach Epsim Ruba, if you have a Tzorach Godel. So the Shulchan Aruch gives an example of an Issa de Rabbanon Kal, Amir Lenochri. Let's say I come home. The last minute I come home and it's Ben Hashmashas, so Friday evening, the whole house is dark. Nobody bench lift, nobody, there are no lights on. So I'm permitted to ask a Nochri to turn on the lights in the house because Amir Le Nochri is an Issa de Rabbanon Kal. And called Dovashim Mishim Shuas Lagozra Le Ben Hashmashas. Happens the Mishkan is Yankiv has a tshuva in the Mishkan is Yankiv. He's not happy about that Mechaber. That's a Tosis. Mechaber quotes a Tosis. Amir Le Yakam is an Issa de Rabbanon Kal. He thinks that that should be considered an Issa de Rabbanon Chomer. Because the Rishonim give different explanations why is Amir Lenochri Yasser. Some say that we say that Yesh Lichus Lenochri Lechumer. We consider it as if he's Shlech Lidvar Avera. I asked Lenochri to be Madlakas Aneris. We consider it Midrabban as if I did the Hadlakas Aneris. So that perhaps should be considered an Esa de Rabban Achomer. Okay. So, but in Shulchan Aruch it says like that. Shulchan Aruch says if the house is dark, you're permitted to ask Lenochri. The Madlik Neiris Ben Hashmash is because Amir Lenoch is an Issa de Rabbanon Kal, and we pass like Rebbe called Dovishim Mishim Shvus, like Ozu Ola Ben Hashmash. So the Magen Avraham, that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. So the Magen Avraham says, if the Balabas, they ask the Nochri to light the Neiris Ben Hashmash, the Goy can't say the Bracha Shekhar Shana B'mitzvah Sov. The Goy doesn't have Kedush Yisrael. So the Balabas can say the Bracha. When the Nochri does a halakha, Balabas says the Bracha. So the Achrayim asked, what is he talking about? She didn't do the Maisa Mitzvah. Let's say you put the mezuzah on my door. I don't feel well, so yes, do me a favor, you put the mezuzah on my door. So you're in fulfillment of a mitzvah, Gmilas Chasodim. I'm in fulfillment of the mitzvah of mezuzah. But I don't say the bracha l'kvaya mezuzah. I'm not doing the Maisa Mitzvah. The one who nails the mezuzah on the door is doing the Maisa Mitzvah. So he says the bracha. So that's the taina that they have against that Magen Avraham. But the two Magen Avrahams are basically saying the same. When the Nochri lights the Neiris for me, I can say the Bracha. He said Bracha even without a Maisa Mitzvah. And when you move into a house which has mezuzahs already attached to the doorpost, so then the person recites the Bracha. Ladu babayis sheyesh bo mezuzah. He knows not really doing a Maisa Mitzvah. He's living in the house. The same living in the house with or without the mezuzah. He didn't do anything specific with respect to the mitzvah mezuzah. So that's one taina that they have against the Magen Avraham. How can he say that you say bracha lo baba sheyesh ba mezuzah if the one who moves into the house is not doing a maisa mitzvah? Then they have another taina, the Birkei Yosef on Yerideya, at the very end of Hilchas Mezuzah, presents this taina against the Magen Avraham. Pesachei Tshuva quotes it there in Yerideya at the end of Hilchas Mezuzah. How did the Magen Avraham have the right to compose his own Nusach HaBracha? The Sapa Bishvachu Shalom Mokum. The Nusach HaBrocha L'Kvoya Mezuzah probably says in a Tosefta and Brochas. But this Nusach, Lodu Baba She'esh Ben Mezuzah, Magan Avraham invented his own Nusach. How does he have a right to make up his own Brocha? So I think the Achronim give the answer. He didn't invent his own Brocha. Anshei Knes HaGdola made a Takona de Rabbanon. Kol HaMitzvus Kulam Avarach Aleim Moi V'Las Yosem. You have to recite a Brocha immediately prior to performing the Maisa Mitzvah. And then they gave klal, and when do you say al, and when do you say lit? We don't know what the klal is. All the Rishonim break their head. But somehow they gave a klal. Sometimes they say lahadlik ner shal Shabbos, and sometimes they say al netilas lulav. Likro es ahalo, you say likro es ahalo, and al achilas mor. Sometimes al and sometimes lit. So the Gemara in Pesachim Dav Zayin talks about it. And all the Rishonim break their head. Everybody gives a different shot. But basically, the Magen Avraham holds, Danchek Nesek Adala made a takana, and whenever there's a mitzvah, you got to figure out what the Nusach HaBrocha should be. It's not that he's composing his own Nusach HaBrocha. Danchek Nesek Adala made a takana, you got to say a brocha. And then you have to, each mitzvah, you have to figure out what the Nusach HaBrocha is. So the Danchek Nesek Adala said, if you nail a mezuzah on the door, probably a tosefta, you say, brocha l'kvoya mezuzah. They never spoke about this case. If you move into a house that has mezuzahs already, do you say a bracha? What bracha do you say? So the Magen Avraham just says, say a bracha, lo da baba, sheish ba mezuzah. He's not inventing his own bracha. The rules and regulations were instituted by the Anshei Knes HaGdol. So maybe that's the beginning of the mahalach that you have to say on that gemara, and the end of brachas, the Rabashi figured out on his own which bracha to say. Maybe the Anshei Knes HaGdol made a takana when you see things that he can remind you of Nisim from years ago in Tanakh, stories that are related in Tanakh, so you have to recite a bracha. So then you have to figure out what you're referring to, the home of Nebuchadnezzar or Eishes Lot who turned into Netziv Melach. Whatever it is that you see, you have to say a bracha. But it's not that he's inventing a new bracha. The rule was you got to say a bracha, and then you have to figure out what is the Nusach HaBracha.
We could bring a raya from the Rambam, who says that, as Rabbi said, that Anshei Knes HaGdol was talking the Nusach HaBracha, and he says Ein Roi v'Shnosam, and he's called Mishana is Eino Ela Toa, but it's mashma that it does work. It's not really the
Yeah, but Yevid Yoytzi. There's a steer in the Rambam. But Yevid the Rambam. Kol Mishana Membeir Shetov Chacham Membeir Brachas Ein Ela Toa. That's the Gemara. So the Rambam says Bidi Yevid Yoytzi, but in Birchas Kriyashma the Rambam says that Bidi Yevid you're not Yoytzi. So that's Rav Soloveitchik had a famous shiur on that. But normally, Birchas Kriyashma is different. Kes Mishnah quotes a Rashba. Why Birchas Kriyashma is different? Yeah.
The Goy lights the candle, what does the woman say?
I think the Magen Avraham says she ought to say Al Hadlokas. She ought to say Al Hadlokas. Okay, maybe. Maybe he says Al Hadlokas Neiris. Okay. I didn't read the newspapers here. Someone told me over there there was some kind of a mistake in the school newspaper. There's a Mishnah in the end of Sanhedrin. It says, Kol Yisrael Yesh Mechel Ki Olam Abba, except for an Apikoris. So the Gemara says, what's the definition of Apikoris? And the Gemara says, one is Mevasa Tamir HaChomet. It's an Apikoris. So we have a din in Yerudea that an Apikoris who shechts a Shechitos in a Vela. He's not allowed to eat it. Can't be Mitzarf an Apikoris to a Minyan. So the Maril has a tshuva where he discusses that the local shochet was Mevaza the rabbi. So you have to ask the shchita, shchitos and nevela. So he says, no, there are two different meanings of the word apikoris. The Mishnah talks about Eilach Elke Alam Abo. So the Gemara says it refers to one as Mevaza, Tamir Chachamim. The Avera is so severe, he deserves to burn in Gehenim, and he doesn't get Alam Abo. But then there's a different din apikoris, Dina Ka'akum. That's an apikoris who's missing Yikori Ha'amunah. So someone told me that they had some confusion in the newspaper. I didn't read it. So where do we leave off? Holan v'holahu. 20 years old. Yeah. The Mishnah says you get married. Benchman asked with the chup, and the Gemara says 20. So the Rishonim gave the epshat, and the Rashash had his suggestion. Yeah. Then on the last line, who's speaking? Rav Chisda says, he got married at the age of 16, and he didn't have a Yetzirah for women, because he got married at such a young age, and he concentrated on his own wife. And he says, the reason why I'm more matzliach than my other contemporaries, because I got married so young, and I didn't have a Yetzirah for women. He has his mind on his wife. And if I would have got married at the age of 14, it would have even been better. Okay, that's a question. If it, by us, it's not feasible, it's not reasonable. We can't do it. But if you can do it, okay. So the Gemara says, Givaldik. Then the Gemara has a comment in the second line from the top. When you still have your hand on the neck or the shoulder of your child, meaning you still have shlita over your son. There are two versions. What age is that? From the age of 16 to the age of 22, or from the age of 18 to the age of 24. So what should you do? You should take care of what you're supposed to take care of. What are you supposed to take care of? So Rashi has the two pshat. So the one pshat in Rashi is you should marry him off between the age of 16 and the age of 22, between the age of 18 and the age of 24. And the other pshat is, no, you should give him tochacha. You should smack him up. If he misbehaves, you have to give him tochacha, but after he reaches a certain age of maturity, either the age of 22 or the age of 24, it's not recommended to smack up your children. Rashi says, Yesh lochush, after that, Yosem Yesem Matan Yesh lochush, you have to be concerned. Shelo Yivayit, he's just going to run away from the father. He's not going to listen to the tochacha of the father. That's the Gemara in the third parak of Moed Kot. The Gemara says that one of the Amoraim saw a man, Makel Ibnu Gadol, he was giving tochacha to his son who was already older. Older means either past 22 or past 24, whatever age. And then he put the father in nidu. He put him in like a miniature form of cherem. There's nidu, cherem, and shamto. There's a machlekes of Rishonim. Are there three categories or are there two? But they're clearly two. Nidu is a milder form, and cherem is a more serious form. And then some Rishonim hold that shamta is even a more serious form of cherem. So the Gemara says, and then the Rambam lists off, the Gemara says in one place, Al-Chof Dal-Dvarim, if one violates any one of 24 Averis, Bezdin will put the person in Nidui. So the Rambam quotes the Riv, who listed off all the 24. The Riv collected all the Gemaras. So the Rambam in Hilchas Talmud Torah quotes all the 24 Dvarim. So one of the things that you put, one of them, it's a Bekiyas, they collected all the Gemaras and Shas. So one of the Gemaras is, Hamaka Lebeno Godel. If a person gives tochacha and he smacks up his son, who's older? So the days of the Gemara, older means 22 or 24. Today you can't hit your kid, he's just 10. Gonna hit the kid, he's gonna run away from the parents, gonna become a drug addict or whatever, or run around with girls. The Gemara says, yeah, because you violate Lifnei Iver. Because the kid may hit back the father. That's what the Gemara said. That's what Rashi says. The father is a violation. This father who hits the son, Beno Godel, Amaklam Beno Godel, is in violation of Lifnei Iver, because there's an Isa Mako Avivimo, a serious Isa, it's an Oynash Miso. So the kid may hit the father back. That's on that Rashi in the third parak in Moed Kot, Neila Megalchen. So that's what the Yad Malachi is in the encyclopedia that was written by one of the Sfaradish Gedolim in the 1700s. So he writes a Shaila, famous Sufik, is one only in violation of Lifnei Iver, Hamakim Beno Godel, and the son Taka hit back the father. What if the son didn't hit the father? But the father hit the son, and there was a likelihood, there was a strong possibility that the son will hit back the father. So that's a Diyun in the Yad Malachi. How to read the Rashi there in Moed Kot. So that's what it says over here. If the son is too old, you shouldn't give tochacha with yisurim. Al yach bet yisurim bet tochachas. Why? Because yesh lochash lo yivayit. He's going to kick the father, means he's going to run away. He won't listen at all.
Would it be only if the son would hit back, or also if it's with the neighbor, you're making him not to keep it up and stuff like that?
Also, he may not hit back the father, just leave religion. Or run away from religious observance. Whatever, it's all included in Lifnei Iver. Yeah. So the Gemara says these two versions of what Rabbi said, is it till the age of 22, till the age of 24? This is two opinions in the Tanoim. Kitanoi, Chanoch lanar al pi darka, what age? So Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nehemiah with two Torahim had a machlech. Had a mar from 16 to 22, but had a mar the other one said from 18 to 24. Shai. How much is the chiyuv? The Gemara interpreted the Mishnah that kol mitzvos haben halo av, only the father is mechuyev to be melamed Torah to the son. The father mechuyev to do pidyon haben, to do the bris milah, and lahasiyah isha, and so on. The mother is not mechuyev to do any of these. So the Gemara wants to know, to what extent is the father mechuyev to teach his son Torah? That's going to cost him money to send him to the yeshiva, so he has to send him all the way through till he gets married, or just elementary school, or high school, or Eretz Yisrael, or college. How much am I mechuyev? So the Gemara says, "Harechan chay b'adam l'lamed is b'no Torah." To what extent is the father mechuyev? Am Rabbi Yehuda ben Shmuel kigon Zvulun ben Don. Who is Zvulun ben Don? That's in Chumash. So Rashi says, "No, this was some person who lived in the days of the Tanoim, and they all knew this story. What was this story? Where's the Rashi? Zvulun ben Don, Talmid Shehayu Abimeim, during the days of the Amoraim, they knew who this person was. Zvulun ben Don." And what's the story? Shelimdo Aviyov, the grandfather taught him everything. Mikra Mishnah, Talmud Halachas Vagora taught him everything. So it sounds like Arhechan Chai Vodim Laman is Menot Torah. The father's Mechuyev to teach his son or to pay a Malamed or to send the child to the yeshiva till he learns Mikra Mishnah, Talmud Halachas Vagora. Wow! So the Gemara says Meisvei. How can you say that? There's a Beferish Abayit that says Limdo Mikra. If you taught your child Tanakh. Doesn't mean you're not allowed to teach him Torah Shebal Peh. It means you're not obligated to teach him Mishnah. Mishnah means Torah Shebal Peh. V'yomar Rava, and Rava has to come. What do you mean? Limdo Mikra? That's a brice. Limdo Mikra. Then Einam Alamda Mishnah. You're not mechuyev to teach him Torah Shebal Peh. What is included in Mikra? V'yomar Rava. Mikra is a Torah. What does it mean, Torah? So Rashi interprets Mikra as a Torah of Lo Nevi'im Maksuvim. We have Tanakh Torah Nevi'im Maksuvim. You're not obligated to teach your children Torah Shebal Peh. You're just obligated to teach them Chumash and not even all of Tanakh, just Chumash, Chamish and Chumash Torah. And the other day they quote, not so, not like Rashi. They say, from the Rambam is pretty clear that it means Mikra Zu Torah means Torah Nevi Muksub, means Torah Shebichsav. Mikra Zu Torah means Torah Shebichsav. So this is, okay, so this is the Kasha. How can you say Hechen? Chayvan Laman is Bnei Torah. You have to teach him like Zvulun ben Don, that the grandfather taught him Mikra Mishnah and Talmud Halachas Vagodas. You have a Beferish Braisa, only Tanakh or only Chumash. How can you say like Zvulun ben Don? So the Gemara says, no, when he said Zvulun ben Don, the first Tamayra, who was the first one? I'm Rav Yudah Mishmol. Mishmol said like Zvulun ben Don, he meant Kizvulun Shaldan, but look, Kizvulun Shaldan, only part of it, Kizvulun Shaldan Shalim Davi Aviv, that even not only the father, the grandfather is also obligated. However, Velukas Vulnashal done. The grandfather over there taught him the Ilu Hasam there, the grandfather taught him Mikmish, the Talmud, Allah's Vagladis. We Ilhocha. Normally, the rule is only Mukhiv to teach Mikra Levad. What does that mean? According to Rashi, it means Chamishu Chum Shetara. And the Yoridei says from the Rambam that it means all of Tanakh. So what did he say? Hechan Mitzvah's Talmud Torah? Even the grandfather. That's what he meant. Like Zvulnashal done, Shalim Da Avi Aviv. The main word was Shalimda Aviyav, not Shalimda Mikra Mishnah and Talmud Halachas Vagodas. He meant to say, Hechon, how many generations is there an obligation of teaching Torah up until Aviyav, the father and the grandfather?
So how could we say, if we say that you only have to teach him until Mikra, and you don't have to teach past that, before when it was who, no, Lilmod, I remember what Rabbi was. He sent his son to learn, and he went to learn by Abaye. Yeah. Why did he keep sending him to learn? I mean, I don't think he was learning by Abaye Mikra.
Yeah. He probably was Yotzit. The kid is already after Bar Mitzvah, probably.
So why would he send his kid instead of him?
Why did he send his son? He thought that his son is very sharp, and turned out the son was not so sharp. He was running the family business. The father was running the business. He sent the son to the yeshiva that he should learn.
So it's then not the chiyuv of teaching him, it's just that...
Father, probably the chiyuv of Talmud Torah, he already was Yotze. The son already knew Chumash. The son already knew Tanakh. In the days of the Gemara, they used to follow the procedure that it says in Pirkei Avos, Machomish le Mikra, Benesah le Mishnah. They knew all of Tanakh. by heart from the age of 5 to 10. They learned Tanakh. So they knew it all with a niggun, like an Eretzah. They knew the Tanakh with a niggun. Yeah.
So what was the original Shana of the Gemara then? What's even the subject to say that, you know, Kodma, if, unless Hulam or Gnolam, meaning we say who Kodma or Gnolam, but if it's not even your gift,
if he has extra money. If he has extra money to support somebody to sit and learn, so should he support his son or should he support himself? So the Gemara says, let him sit and learn himself unless his son is really talented. Okay. But as far as the Chiv Lelamed is Beno, so the Gemara says, Yotze, once he knows all of Tanakh and once he knows Chumash, that's sufficient. He ready Yotze the Mitzvah. The Gemara Kasha, is that true? Is the Taka Mitzvah on the grandfather to teach the grandson Torah? We have a bris on the Matam Elsos Benechem, but lo Benei Benechem. Doesn't apply to the grandchildren. Either is a pasuk that seems to say explicitly, said the Pharisee should teach the grandchildren. No. Mar said that's not what it means. Loi malach, that pasuk means you call him a lamed is benot Torah malalavakasik kilelim ladol lebno leben benot sof kaladors. What it means is only the father's mukhib to teach the son. The grandfather is not mukhib, no chiv on the grandfather at all. But one who teaches his son Torah, so his son will be able to teach his son. His son will be able to teach his son. So it's considered as if by teaching your son, it's considered as if you taught all the future generations who will descend from your son. Because you're the one who set up the whole system. So how can you say before means how many generations does it go goes to the grandfather? The Brisa says that it's not so. Whether the grandfather is believed to teach the grandson. The one Rabbi Yudah Omer Shmuel says that the grandfather is believed holds like the following Brisa. How do you know the grandfather is also mechayiv to teach? But it says sounds like b'neichem v'lo b'nei b'neichem. Everything more no it means b'neichem v'lo b'naseichem. There's no chiyuv on the father to teach kol haTorah kula to the daughters, only to teach the daughters as a hechsher mitzvah. They should know how to observe the mitzvahs that they're obligated to do. So that's how we paskin like this opinion that the father is obligated. The grandfather is also obligated to teach. The Rambam quotes the drasha from the Sifrei on the pasuk in Parsha Shema, and the after Hashem Lakecha, Lemadatim Osem as Bneichem Elu Hal Talmidim, even if they're not my children. In the first Parsha, I said, the first Parsha says, V'shenantem Levanecha. And the first parsha says "Bishenantem lofanecha elu atalmidim," and the second parsha in Vayoyim Shema it says "Amatem osas b'neichem." There, the Gemara says "b'neichem" means your children, and maybe even your grandchildren. Why did the Tanoim, the pasuk "Pshat b'neichem" means your children? So if it says it twice, so it makes sense to say "Meni v'inya lebenote tenehu inya letalmidim." Okay, so you should have said the first time it says. You should have said Eilu Habonim, maybe even Bnei Bonim, the Machlokes Hatanaim. And the second parsha says the same thing repeated. So why did the Tanoim say Fakir? Why did they say in the first parsha it goes on Bonim? The first parsha they said it goes on Talmidim. You should have said the first parsha goes on literally children. Second parsha goes on Talmidim. Why did they say like that? So some say because in the first Pasha it says Vishinantam Levanecho. And the Gemara says on the last line, Vishinantam Shivetar Mikudod Meficho. Not every father is blessed with a son who's so sharp. Vishinantam Levanecho goes on your children. You should train the children, you should know how to answer on the spot. Not all the children are so blessed, so talented. If you're talking about a yeshiva, so the Shvacha kids don't go in yeshiva. They go to cheder. And after Bar Mitzvah they go to work. And those in Europe, before the war, all the children went to cheder. And then in Bar Mitzvah, they all went to work. And then one child from every city, if it was a big city, two children from the big city, used to go to learn in the yeshivas. They didn't have everybody learning in yeshivas till they got married. The Meir Yeshiva at its peak had around 400 talmidim from almost 400 different cities. The one bocher came from every city. I remember when I learned here in the yeshiva, Rabbi Gerelik was one of the rabbeim, so he said, you boys have an imagination about what life was like in Europe. He says, there was only one person from every city who learned in yeshiva. That's what he said. Meir Yeshiva at its peak had 400 talmidim from 400 cities. It's not like in Borough Park. He said that in every corner there are four yeshivas, and every child learns in the yeshiva until he gets married. This is a new phenomenon. They never had this in Europe. This is just started recently. There's more learning now than there ever was before. So that's what some suggest. Since in the first Pashtun it says, V'shinantam lovanacha yu mechudodim, shinantam means mechudodim, so that must go on a kolom. That goes, V'shinantam lovanacha elu atalmidim. And in the second parsha it says, you should teach Torah to your children. That goes, you teach Abba Bey, teach Torah Tziva, Moidani, teach Chumash and Rashi. So that goes on children. That's what some say. I think Rav Gifter once said like that. Rav Soloveitchik thought a little differently. Rav Soloveitchik said, there's a Mishnah in Brachas, the end of the first parak. Why do we recite the three parshas of Shema in that order? Shema, Bahayom, Shemoya, and then Bayoymer. Vayomer appears in Bamidbar, Shema Vayom Shema, both in Dvarim. So it's out of order. There must be some reason, must be some logic why they chose like that. So the Mishnah quotes, one of the Tanaim says, Lama Kodma Parsha Shema, because Parsha Shema has Kabbalos on Machal Shema. We've got to start with that. And then why is next Vayom Shemaya? That's Kabbalos on Mitzvahs. If you have Kabbalah on Machash Shemaim, then you have Kabbalah on Mitzvahs. And then, Vayomer is because of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. Tzitzis, one of the Mitzvahs. So the Rambam quotes that, Lama Kodma Parshah Shema and Hilchas Kriya Shema. Then the Rambam gives you a definition. What is Kabbalah on Machash Shemaim? What does it consist of? So the Rambam writes, Yichudo Ahavosai V'Talmudo V'Haikar Agorol Shakol Toli Boi. That's the Loshan Aram. What does it mean, Yichudo? We believe monotheism, one God, Yichud Hashem, Shema Yisrael Hashem Echad, Yichud Havosa V'Havtas Hashem Alakecha V'Talmudo. So Rav Soloveitchik understood, there are others who dings up with this, Rav Soloveitchik understood that Talmudo means Limanat Torah, because it says V'Shinantam Lovanecha. And then the Rambam says V'Hu Hikar Agorol Shakol Talibo. What does that mean? So Rav Soloveitchik interpreted, others dings up with this also, he said that the third one, Yichudo, Ahavosa, V'Talmudo, the Talmudo is the most important from these three. Learning Torah will lead you to Yichudo and Ahavosa. Vuhu, the third one, the Talmudo, so Yikra Gadol Shakol Taliba. Others read the Rambam differently. Talmudo means to study about the essence of God. And Hu Yikra Gadol goes on Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim. Goes on all three. It doesn't go Dafka and the Lesma. That's what Rav Soloveitchik always used to learn Pshat. So he said, the first parsha in Shema is Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim. So what's the Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim? That every father teaches his son Abba Beh, and he teaches him a little Chumash and Rashi and Mishnayis. That's Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim. When he says the shir in the yeshiva, Rav Soloveitchik gives the shir to the older boys. That's Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim. When you're learning on a high level. So that's what motivated the Tanoim to say, V'shinantum alafanecha ela talmidim, because Talmud Torah in the first parsha is written because it's a chelik, a crucial chelik, or the most important chelik, huik or agadol, shakal talibo, that's an important intrinsic part of Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim. That's learning in the yeshivas on a high level. But the father teaching the children on a simple level, elementary level, that's not Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim. That's just training the children. That was his suggestion. I think Rabbi Gifter once said, he thinks because michudod mificha, not every father is blessed with such children who are so sharp. So it must be v'shinantam lovanach elu atalmidim in a yeshiva, in a high level yeshiva. So you only have students who are on a high level. So the Rambam quotes all these dinim. He says the father's mechuyev to teach his children and his grandchildren. That's l'martamos mas b'nechem. Even b'nei b'nechem we paskin like that. And a rebbe is mechuyev to teach talmidim v'shinantam lovanach elu atalmidim. So what do you, if everyone who has any Torah is mechuyev to share it with the whole world, so what do you need another pasuk? L'martamos has b'nechem, the father and the grandfather. Whoever has any Torah is mechuyev to share it with everybody else. So the Rambam says, no, the difference is that you mechayev to do b'chinam, this you mechayev to do b'schar. The father or the grandfather have an obligation to teach Torah to their son or their grandchild, even if it's going to cost money. But the one who has a lot of knowledge of Torah has to share it with the whole world. That's only b'chinim. You're not mechayev to do it b'schar. So that's a chiddush that the grandfather is mechayev to pay the schar limud. So I was told that in the cheder in Lakewood, they'll send a bill to the father's father. The father learns in Lakewood, so he can't pay your tuition. So the Rambam distinguishes between the maternal grandfather and the paternal grandfather. The father's father is mechayev to pay for the chinuch of his grandchildren. The mother's father is not mechayev. So they have a lot of yeshiva guys who learn there, and their children go to cheder. So they'll say, the fathers can't pay any money. They barely put food on the table. So they'll send a bill. The cheder will send a bill to the father's father with the Rambam, the passage in the Rambam on the bottom line, printed on the bottom line, that the father's father is mechayev to teach the grandchild even if it's going to cost them money. That's the Rambam put together all the Gemaras. Because the Sifrei says, "Ushinantam alafanach reil al tamidim." The Maratamah says, "Bnechem goes on children and grandchildren." That's how we paskin. So what do you need two psukim? So the answer is, this is bechinam, and this is bischar. And the bischar is only the paternal grandfather.
Why? The reason why we say
Vayomer
last is because Shema comes first, because that's Kabbalah Zamach Shemaim. Doesn't Rambam explain the Rambam that says the reason why Vayomer, the third parsha, is also the race is because Vayomer is talking about the balls of Mount Shemayim?
Zechiras and Tzias Mitzrayim is an aspect of Kabbalah Zamach
Shemayim. Rambam, why, how does he understand, why would there be Kedima for Shema, because Shema is Kabbalah Zamach Shemayim, whereas Vayomer is not?
Shema says it, Hashem Echad. It says it, well, you have to. It says, Vishinantam Levanecha. There is a Zaniya Hashem Lekham Shotzei Seyes Chamirat Mitzrayim. So that's the raya for Kabbalah Zalmach Hashemayim. Like it says in Aseres Hadibas Anochi Hashem Alakecha Asher Hotzei Sicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. So the Ibn Ezra quotes the Kasha from Rabbi Yudah Levi. In Yiddish folklore they say he married the daughter of Rabbi Yudah Levi. They say they have no evidence that that was the case. They met each other, but they're not necessarily, they say that he finished, that Ibn Ezra walked into Rabbi Yudah Levi's home and he was in the middle of writing a piyut, a poem, and Ibn Ezra filled in the missing line, and they spoke to each other. Okay, but we have no historical evidence that he ever married his daughter. We have no evidence that he had a daughter, Rabbi Yudah Levi. So, so the Ibn Ezra quotes that kashim from Rabbi Yudah Levi. Why did he say, "Anoch Hashem Alkecha Sher Hatzisichem Yatzur"? He said, "Anoch Hashem Alkecha Sher Borasu Shamayim Ba'aretz." That's bigger than that's for the whole world. So the Ibn Ezra says, "No." You should know from your own historical experience. You experience Yetzias Mitzrayim, so you know that there's such a thing on the Anochi Hashem Elokecha. You know that there's only one God. The Ribbono Shel Olam knocked down Velehei Mosa Shvatim. He knocked down all the Avodah Zarah, and they shechted the Korban Pesach. They used to worship animals. They shechted the Korban Pesach, and they broke all the idols at that time. So that's where Rav Chaim answers the Rambam. The Prima Gordon points out that there are four shitas, how much of Kriya Shema is derais. So he says the Ramban and Muhammad says only Pasuk Rishon, Shema Yisrael Shem Echad. And Rashi in the beginning on the first Mishnah Brachas seems told Parsha Bishayna is derais. And the Taisvus in the first Taisvus in Brachas seems told the two Parshas are derais, the Kriya Shema. The third Parsha is the Chiris Yitzhayas Mitzrayim. And the Rambam writes in Ilchus Kriya Shema, you have to recite Kriya Shema twice a day. And what constitutes Kriya Shema? All the three parshas. So that's a pella. What do you mean? The third parsha has nothing to do with Kriya Shema. It's a different mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. So that's what Rav Chaim explained, like the Ibn Ezra said, "Anoch Hashem Elokecha Shehu Tzeisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim." That's the historical proof that it's true, that God exists and there's only one God. So we say, Kriya Shema means Kabbalah Samach HaShamayim. How do you know that it's true that there is a Bari Olam? Because Ani Hashem Elokecha Shehu Tzeisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. That's why mentioning Yetzias Mitzrayim is the hechacha that Shema Yisrael Hashem Echad. That's the proof that there's only one God. Then the Gemara tells a few stories. Rav Chiya bar Abba Ashkechel Rav Shema Levi, he was taking his son to shul. Mamti Leili Nukla Beknishta, and he wasn't fully dressed. He didn't have his jacket on. He ran out of the house with a yarmulke, half undressed. So he said, what's the big rush? So he came to shul 2 minutes later. What's the big rush to bring his son to shul? Omalei, my coolie high. Why are you running to shul? Put on your shirt, put on your tie, put on your jacket. What are you running to shul? You have undressed. Omalei, no. You have to see to it chinuch habanim. That's very important. Mizuter, is it? You can't exaggerate the importance of that pasuk. You can't machavek. It says, if you teach your children Torah, it's considered kila kibla mi har Sinai. So that's why he's running to bring the child to shul where they're going to learn. They're going to learn the shul. He has to see to it that he takes care of chinuch habanim. Well, so Rabchia Bar Abba was so taken by that. So from that time on, Nikan V'yelach, after he heard that from, who did he hear it from? Yeshua Belevi. So from that time on, Nikan V'yelach, Rabchia Bar Abba himself, Latoim Umtza, he wouldn't have a bite of flesh, Adamakri Liyanuke, Umosve, unless he would have his young child. Kid was probably 5 years old when Chomish Lemikra. So the kid ad the makri liyinuka till he would have the child chaza, the mikra, the chomish that he learned yesterday, umoisve, and he would add on another pasuk for today. He would see that he wouldn't want to eat breakfast in the morning before he would see to it that his child would learn Torah. It's very important to teach your children Torah. Rabbi Ravuna Latoimum said the maisa liyinuka the bay midrasha. He wouldn't eat a significant meal till he brought his child to the Beis HaMedrash to learn. It's important. Chinuch Habanim is very important. Then the Gemara has a comment. The Yorla Mishal Shadam Shnoisov, Shlish B'Mikra, Shlish B'Mishna, Shlish B'Gemara, Shlish B'Talmud. What does it mean? So the simple pshat is, you should make up your mind in advance how long you're going to live, how long do you plan to live. And then the first third of your life you should learn, spend learning Tanakh. The second third you should spend learning Mishnah. Mishnah means Psak Halacha, Shulchan Aruch. And the third third of your life you should spend learning Talmud. So the Gemara says, how do you know how long you're going to live? You plan in advance. They used to have every year, Kerem B'Yavin, they used to have an annual dinner in New York. So the president of Kerem B'Yavin used to be Mr. Hachsti, Zechon Elbrach, passed away. So every year he would tell the people the same pizman. He said, you have to give Maisa Ksofim. So make up your mind how much you would like to make. How much would you like to earn this year? So if you want to earn $1 million, so give the yeshiva 10% of $1 million. So that'll be, if you plan to make $2 million, so give the yeshiva 10% of whatever you plan to make this year. So give that amount now. You'll earn that much money. So that's what the Gemara says, Miyodea Kamachai. How do you know how long you're going to live? The Gemara says, no, it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean the first 30 years, you're going to live till the age of Mishan and Sena Bahem Shivim Shon. You're going to live 70 years. No, it doesn't mean you divide the years up. So what does it mean, Liyoyme? So Rashi learns there are 7 days in every week. So the first 2 and a third days you should learn Tanakh. The next 2 and a third days you should learn Halacha. And then the next 2 and a third days you should learn Talmud. So Tosfos Tainis against Rashi. How does he know he may die in the middle of the week? How does he know he's going to live to the end of the week? So Tosfos disagrees with Rashi, and he quotes from the Goinim. The Goinim, we have the Siddur from Rav Amram Cohen. So the Goinim introduced that right after Birchas HaTorah, you say, Yivarech Hashem Yishmerecho, Yer Hashem Parmei Lecho, Bihunecho. Then you say, Parshas HaTomid. Then you say Zeh Mekayman. Then you say Rabbi Shmuel Amar Bishloshes Minas Hatorah Nedreshes Tam. So the Goyim said that this is for the purpose of fulfilling Shlish B'Mikra, Shlish B'Mishnah, and Shlish B'Talmud. The Goyim are of the opinion it doesn't mean 1/3 of your whole life you should spend learning Tanakh. 1/3 of your of the time that you have to learn. That's how the Rambam writes. The Rambam says, if a person works for a living and all he has are 9 hours in the day to learn. A little humorous. Well, he only has 9 hours left. If he works, he only has 9 hours to learn. So he should learn every day 3 hours Tanakh and 3 hours Mishnayos, Halacha, Psukah, Shulchan Aruch, 3 hours Talmud. That's the Rambam. So the Rambam learns Shlish B'Mikra, Shlish B'Mishnah, Shlish B'Talmud. Literally, 1/3. It means your learning should be balanced. There's some people, they know Tanakh very well, but they don't know Halacha. Some people know Halacha very well, they don't know Chumash. And some people know Gemara very well, they don't know Halacha at all. So your learning should be balanced. You should grow in all three at the same time. You should try to learn every day, try to learn Shlish B'Mikra, Shlish B'Mishnah, Shlish B'Talmud. The Rambam says, till a person will reach the point, he already knows Tanakh by heart. So he doesn't have to learn one-third of the day Tanakh. What is it? And even he knows all the halachas. He knows more or less what it says in Shulchan. So then, the learning should be balanced. At the end of the day, the person, one-third of all of his knowledge should be Tanakh, and one-third of his knowledge should be Psak Halacha L'Maisa Mishnah, and one-third of his knowledge should be Talmud. I remember we used to have a Rebbe in Yeshiva, Nissen Alpert. He was a neighbor of Rabbi Moshe Feinstein on the east side. And he learned Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. Rabbi Moshe passed away. So Rabbi Nissen Alpert is one of those who delivered a hesped. So he said, very interesting, that in the Chumash, it says that a balmum, a kohen who's a balmum, is not allowed to be makor karbonus on the Beis HaMikdash. Just like there's a din, if the korban has a mum, you can't be makor of it. So if the kohen is a balmum, you're not allowed to be makor of karbonus on the Beis HaMikdash. So one of the balimumin is sarua. So sarua, Rashi and Chumash quotes from the Mishnah and Bchoros, have all the dinim of the mumin. The middle of Pchoros, you have many, many daf. You have to know biology to know what's going on over there. So it has sarua, the two organs that are supposed to be symmetrical, called symmetrical or one. Let's say one ear is much bigger than the other. One nostril is much bigger than the other. So it's out of proportion. One eye is much bigger. The eyes are never the same size. But if it's clearly not the same size, that's sarua. So Rav Nissen Alpert said he met many Talmid HaChamim. Being close to Rav Moshe, he met many Talmid HaChamim. Some of them were very strong in Noshim and Zikin, but they didn't know Kochim. Others were strong in Kochim, they didn't know Noshim and Zikin. Others knew Shulchan Aruch well, they didn't know Gemara. Others knew Gemara well, they didn't know Shulchan Aruch. He said Rav Moshe was the one, he always viewed them as Sarua. They're not symmetrical. They know so much in Yerideya. They don't know anything about the Aruch Chaim. They know so much in Aruch Chaim. They don't know Noshim and Zikin. They know they're experts in one area and they're missing everything in the other area. He said, from all the big Talmid Chacham that he knew, Rav Moshe was the only one that he knew of who was growing at the same time in all the areas, in Psak Halacha, in Gemara, in Lamdas, and in Tanakh. Everything was, he was growing in all areas. So that's how the Rambam learns. A person should, when he first starts to learn, should learn one third of his time. So his knowledge should be balanced. You should have balanced learning. Like today, one of the Rebbe's said, today, whenever you're learning Gemara, you should look in the Encyclopedia Talmudit under that topic, and they'll give you a balanced presentation of what the whole topic is all about, if the Encyclopedia goes far enough. Okay? That they'll give you a balanced presentation. And then the Rambam says, when the person reaches an age that he already, how many times do you have to learn Tanakh? So he already knows Tanakh well. So he doesn't have to spend always one-third. So then he already knows Chazu a little bit, the Halacha, Psak Halacha, and spend more time on Talmud. That's how the Rambam learns. The Goyim clearly do not agree with the Rambam. The Goyim understand there's a din. You yoytze shlish b'mikra, shlish b'mishnah, shlish b'talmud, before you even start saying Baruch Shomar. What does he do the rest of the day? He says, Yirech Hashem v'yishmerecho, then he says, Psukei Tomid and Psukei Ketores, then he says, Ezeh Mekoymen, then he says, Yirech B'shmoy Leimen, that's it. That's shlish b'mikra, shlish b'mishnah, shlish b'talmud. Because the Psukei Tomid, that's shlish b'mikra, and Ezeh Mekoymen is shlish b'mishnah, Yirech B'shmoy Leimen, shlish b'talmud. How is that? So the Mefarshim explain, the Goyim are of the opinion there's a din you have to be kaveh itim latur. You have to try to learn every day a little bit, not just busy with college for the next month. Then you're going to be sitting learning like a mishugan all day and all night. Then you're going to do college all day and all night. Then you're going to go haphazard back and forth. So the din is you have to be kaveh itim latur. Every day you have to set aside time to learn. So Shlish b'mikra, shlish b'mishnah, shlish b'talmud is a prat within the din of kviyas itim la'Torah. Every day you say brichas la'Torah, and you want to be kaveh a little bit, a shmek tabik, a little bit of Tanakh, and a little bit of Mishnah, and a little bit of Talmud. So you say the psukei ha'tamid, fine. You kill two birds with one stone, because it's a neshama form, so I say, we don't have a base of English today. So if you recite the Psukei HaTomim, it says Ola Lakan Lakan. It's considered Neshama form Sosein. It's also Shlish B'Mikra. Then you say Zel Makoyma. Okay, Shlish B'Mishan. Then you have Shlish B'Talmud, the Brisa Reb Shmuel. Then the rest of the day you can learn whatever you want according to the Goyim. But the Rambam learns not like the Goyim. The Rambam learns that Yishalosh Adam Shnoisa means that the learning should be balanced, so that your knowledge should grow in all the areas at the same time, like Rabbi Alpitz Moshel from the Sorua. Person shouldn't be very strong in one area and missing in the other area. It should grow in all the areas simultaneously.
Why don't we say that the Gaonim and Rabbeinu Tam here are saying that you have those three to be Yotzei, the fact, because we said before that if you already learned Mikra and you already learned Mishnah, then you could spend less than a third of your time learning that, and so the Eitzim Om Makoma and all that is in order to do the Chazara, and then afterwards you spend your whole time on Talmud because that's the only thing that there's left to learn.
I mean, if he's older, the Goyim are only talking about an older person.
No, I mean, everyone says that just to fulfill it. Meaning, you still have to you still have to learn Tanakh and you still have to learn Mishnah, but if you already learned it, then that fulfills your chiyuv of everyday learning Tanakh and Mishnah. Meaning, you still need to learn Tanakh and know Tanakh. It doesn't just fulfill it just by reading the Pesukim in the morning.
Right.
And you still need to learn Mishnah and know Mishnah.
Yeah.
But once you already know them, then those Pesukim and Mishnah that you're saying in the morning is Yotzei, your Chiyuv of learning.
You mean, so this din, the Gemara, and the way the Gaonim said, that's only for adults. So already know everything already. So then you Yotzei with that. No, they seem to say it's for everybody. They seem to say that when you say the Parsha Satamin and Azam Mekoyman and Rabbi Ishmael Oimer, that's for everybody, even for the young children. That's in order to fulfill Shlish B'Mikra, Shlish B'Mishnah.
They don't think that you have to learn Tanakh or Mishnah?
No, they do have to learn Kol HaTorah Kula. But you're not mechuyev to learn it like the Rambam in a balanced fashion. The Rambam makes sense. Learning should be in a balanced fashion. Not you should be stronger, very strong in one area and very weak in the other. You should grow in all the areas simultaneously. But the Goyim apparently assumed that it's not necessary. That you can learn whatever you choose, as long as at the end of the day, but this is a din, every day you have to learn a little bit, and that what it means, a little bit of Tanakh, and a little bit of Psak, and a little bit of Gemara. An interesting understanding. And then Taizkot Rabbeinu Tam, we didn't mention, there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. And the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, why is it referred to as Talmud Bavli? So the simple answer is because it was composed in Bavel. Bavel is the name of the country. So the Gemara says, but why is the country called Bavel? Because the Talmud Bavli is Belula B'Mikra B'Mishnah Ubi Gemara. What does that mean? So Rabbeinu Tam says that's a phrase, Mikra Mishnah Gemara, is an allusion to this Gemara. Yishalan Sharam Shnosav Shlish B'Mikra, Shlish B'Mishnah, Shlish B'Talmud. So the Gemara means to say, when you learn Talmud Bavli, if you learn Talmud Bavli every day, so Yotze Shlish B'Mikra, Shlish B'Mishnah, Shlish B'Talmud. Yeah, that's only by Medvar Memura if you learn a few blot Gemara. You just learn five lines. How is that Shlish B'Mikra, Shlish? That's nothing. It's not Mikra, it's not Mishnah. You spend the whole day on a Havamin in the Gemara. Years ago, people used to learn quickly. They say Rav Kook, when he learned in Valozhin, he used to cover 60 blot a day. He wasn't the only one. Not everybody did 60 blot. Some people did 5 blot a day. Some people did 10 blot a day. But they didn't go so slowly just to spend hours and hours on a Havamina. You have to cover ground. Lefichach nikru rishanim sofen shay sofen kolos yoshabat Torah. Is this connected to what it says before? So Rashi says, Milsabapin option, nothing to do with the previous Gemara. Gemara said before, Yishalosh Adam Shlosav Shlish Mimikra, Shlish Mimishna, Shlish B'Talmud, Nikud Atayin. That's a new paragraph now. And it says, where are the earlier generation Talmid Chacham referred to as Sofrim? So Rashi and Tosfos quote Psukim from Divrei Hayomim, Mishpachai Sofrim. So what is the connotation of Sofrim? So the Bavli says that they counted Hayisofrim every word and every letter in Tanakh. And Tosfos quotes Yerushalmi, Sha'osu kol ha'Torah kula misparos. They gave numbers to the dinim, like Yud Gilbal dinim Namro b'Nivlo Seif Tohar. and Lamatas Ovis Malochas L'Shabbos, Arba Ovis Nizikin. So they combined all the dinim and he gave you a number, so you'll be able to remember it. And all of Torah Shabbat Pes, you'll be able to remember it better. That's. See, the Babli comments on the Mishnah and Shabbos. Why does it say Ovis Malochas Aboim Chasarachas? What's the significance of having the number? So Yishalmi says the significance, so you'll be able to remember it better. The Mishnahs were not written down, so you have to remember Baal Peh, Chorish, Azari, Akoitz, Adosh, Ma'amir, you may forget one. So you know at the end, you have to have 39. So it says a number, you'll remember. That's how the Yerushalmi says. Also, Kalatar Kulam is Paras. But the Babli doesn't like that answer. So the Babli says, no, Shemason Kulam Behele Mechos, Chai Bekalachas Viachas, that there's Chilik Malochas L'Shabbos. If you repeat the same Malocha, if you write 20 pages on Shabbos, B'Shoigig, you only bring one chatas, but if you did choris, aria, koitz, adosh, ma'amer, etc., you violated all the 39, and then that's called chilik maloch, the chayv 39 chatos. So the Babli didn't give the answer of the Yerushalmi, because the Babli l'shitasa hold, that's not a mila. Also, kalatar kula misparas. How can you deny that it's a mila? It helps you remember all the dinim. Yeah, okay. So Rashi says that it's a milsa bapi nafshe. It's not a hemshech from before. Milsa bapi nafshe, this loma nikru lefichach, but it says lefichach nikru rishayim sab. So other mefarshim say, what's the significance of learning shlish b'mikra? Why not just learn the Mishnah and the Talmud? Halacha l'maaseh, psak, shulchan aruch is Mishnah, and then learn the Talmud. What's so important about learning Tanakh? So Gemara says, no, lefichach nikru rishayim sofrim, it's important to know every word and every letter in the Tanakh. Now, this is a hemshech from the statement from before. The fichach is a hemshech, that's why it's significant to learn Torah Shebichtav. Yeah. Where did the minyan come from? The Mechaber in Yerideya writes, a Talmid Chacham has to, just like a kala in the days of Tanakh, he used to wear 24 tachshitim, and every finger, and every nose ring, and earrings, and toes, and everything. I don't know, they had 24 tachshitim. So Talmid Chacham has to be bucking in the 24 svarim of Tanakh. Those are the 24 tachshitim of the Talmid Chacham. I remember once one of the boys from the yeshiva got married, so he made a siyum on Tanakh for his wedding. On the day of the wedding, he made a siyum for Tanakh, and he said over this medrash, that why, just like a kala, has to wear 24 tachshitim, so Talmid Chacham has to be dressed up with 24 Sifri HaTanach. He has to know 24 Sifri HaTanach. Yeah. So the Mechaber writes that the Talmid Chacham has to know Tanach. So the Ramah and Yerideya says, we learn Talmud Bavli, and it's Belula B'mikra Mishnah B'Gemara, and we follow the Rabbein Tam. Then Rabbi Yosef Kara writes in Hilchas, in Orachayim, in Hilchas Tefillah, the Chazan, on Yomim Naroyim and Yomim Tovim, we say a lot of piyutim. So the piyutim are all in biblical phrases, biblical expressions. You don't know Tanakh, you won't know the Pirush Hamilas of the piyutim. So the Rabbi Yosef Kara quotes from Rishonim, the Chazan has to be a baki in the 24th form of Tanakh, that he should know what he's talking about when he says the piyutim. And the Ramah says, we don't follow that. Then in Hilchas Shechita, the Mechaber writes, the Shechit has to know 24 Sifri HaTanakh, in order that he should be acceptable as a sheikh. The Ramah says, we're not makbid on that. So where did this come from? The Ramah is downplaying the limud of Tanakh. So that comes from Arashi and Brochus. The Gemara says, one of the Tanoim was on his deathbed. And he was giving, said the Talmidim asked him, before he dies, teach us lessons for life. So he said, minu b'nechem min ha'higoyan. Don't let your children study Higayon. Maza Higayon? Logic. In my time, there was a professor who taught logic over here. He was Yodu as an Apikoros. My father's time, the same professor. My father's time, he was an Apikoros. My time is ready more than half over a bottle. So nobody fell in with his Apikoros. My father's time, a lot of the people fell in with his Apikoros. So what does it mean? Midim b'nechmin ha'higayon. Don't let your children study logic or study philosophy, they'll become apikursen, maybe. So Rashi has a strange pshat. Minim enech menagon, don't teach your children Tanakh. What's wrong with teaching your children Tanakh? It's very unclear. So there's a tzlach, the Nadi Yehuda, lived in the 1700s, and that's when there were maskilim already starting in the 1700s. So they had maskilim who were wise guys who were learning Tanakh. They didn't care for Gemara. They weren't so frum. And they were giving new interpretations in Tanakh. Like in our generation, you have the wise guys giving new interpretations in Tanakh. Everything from thin air, inventing things from thin air. So there's a paragraph in the Tzlach, that's a sefer by the Neri Behuda on Brachas. So he says, they took it out of many of the old editions. And now when they reprint the Tzlach, so they put it back in. He says, he thinks that's the reason why Rashi says they shouldn't teach Tilton Tanakh. To teach Gemara, the Rebbe is going to be a Yirei Shamayim. Who's going to teach Gemara? Someone who's a Talmud Chacham. But teaching Tanakh, he may fall in and get some Amaran Apikoros and knows Ivrit. So that's terrible. So he said, that's why Rashi says, don't let your children study Tanakh. He said, that was the minik, but it's really a problem. It's not right. The Yeshiva Bachim don't know Chumash and they don't know Tanakh. We're supposed to... People think there's only a mitzvah of Talmud Torah if you learn Gemara with Rab Chaim, with Rab Baruch Beh, with Rab Shimon, with Rab Naphtali. If you learn Chumash, it's also Talmud Torah, believe it or not. If you learn Tanakh, it's also Talmud Torah. Without Rab Chaim, just to learn Tanakh is also Talmud Torah. There's a famous letter, we mentioned it, from Abel Yemeir Bloch. I think I mentioned it recently, that one of the early years after HaKamas HaMedina, there was a joint Yom HaAtzmaut observance that was sponsored by the Mizrahi and the Aguda together. So on the bottom of the invitation was printed in the newspaper, they sent out in the mail. So on the bottom of the invitation, they had Mrs. Gifter's name, inviting the women to come, and Rabbi Elimeir Bloch inviting the men to come. And somebody from Washington Heights sent a letter to Rabbi Elimeir Bloch, how can you support celebration of Yom HaAtzmaut with the Mizrahi, but we don't believe in the Medina? So he wrote him back a letter, which was printed. What do you mean we don't believe in the Medina? Of course we do. So he says, a long letter, a few pages, he says, in Europe before the war, there were three things that the religious Jews ran away from. Zionism, because all of the Zionists were secular. They wanted to establish a Medina to run away from the Torah, to replace the Torah. And they ran away from Tanakh, because the Apikursim, because the Maskilim and Apikursim were teaching Tanakh with new interpretations, and they ran away from speaking the Lashon HaKodesh, because Achad Ha'am was an Apikoros, and all of his Chabad, Mendel HaMoichel Svarim, all of them, they were all Apikorsim, they weren't observant people, and they were the ones who were reviving, and Ben Yehuda was not religious at all, so he was anti-religious, so all of the people who were emphasizing Tanakh, and emphasizing Zionism, emphasizing Dibur B'Lashon HaKodesh, were all anti-religious, so Rabbi Yemeir Bloch says, that's not a real cause why we should run away. Tanakh is part of Talmud Torah. We should take it back and learn Tanakh according to the tradition. Zionism is part of our religion. Eretz Yisrael has a place, a very significant place, within the Mizgeret of the 613 mitzvahs. As Pekin Loshna Kodesh, he quotes the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayos and Pirkei Avos, where the Mishnah says, HaBizor B'mitzvah Kala K'vachamura. So what's a mitzvah kala? What, tzitzis and tefillin is a mitzvah kala? That's a mitzvah chamura. Everybody knows about tzitzis and tefillin. So he says, mitzvah kala is ledaber b'loshon HaKodesh. People don't realize that that's a mitzvah. So he says we should take it back and observe these three mitzvahs, the Tanakh, limud HaTanakh, and the Zionism, and the daber b'loshon HaKodesh, according to the tradition. You shouldn't do it the way the Apikorsim do. So this was, he used to be a Rebbe in BTA, who was a librarian BTA. He had learned in Europe in Mir Yeshiva, and when he came to America, he was in BTA. So he put out a big fat book that's called Mitzvah HaShalom. So at the end of the book, he printed this whole letter by Rabbi Elimeir Bloch. And he sold copies in the stores and everything. So he had all the leftover copies he had in his garage in the back of his house. So the Satmar Chevre came, they burnt down the whole garage, and they burnt all the remaining copies. So he went to the Satmar Rebbe and he said, your Chevre burnt down my garage. The Satmar Rebbe said, I know, and he paid him. Satmar Rebbe paid him for the hefset of the garage, the hefset of the book. So he reprinted the book, but he left out the letter. He says, they're going to reprint the letter, they're going to burn the hooligans, they're going to burn down the garage again. So he reprinted the Sefer. So in the first edition of the Sefer, a mitzvah sashalom, it said at the end, Tam v'nishlam shevach lekel bari olam. In the second edition, it says, Tam v'loy nishlam. Because he was forced to leave out the letter from Abba Yemeir Bloch. But the letter is available. The first edition is available in all the libraries. You can find it. People make a mistake. They think real Talmud Torah is only to learn with Rav Baruch Ben, Rav Shimon Shkop, and Rav Chaim. And when people go to work and they only have time to learn Gemara with Rashi, that's not Talmud Torah. That is Talmud Torah. You learn Mishnayos with the Bar Tanur, it's Givaldik. You learn Tanakh with Rashi, it's Givaldik. What's wrong? It's also Talmud Torah. And Gemara with Rav Chaim, Rav Shimon is also Givaldik, but it's not to the exclusion of Tanakh, not to the exclusion of learning Mishnayos with the Bar Tanur. Everything is Talmud Torah. Yeah. Why not learn Tanakh? Why only learn Gemara? Yeah. Rabbi Bro used to teach Tanakh. In between Mincha and Marv, he used to teach Tanakh in German. It was a fancy German. I didn't understand one word. He found it hard to understand Yiddish. When he was an old man and he couldn't see already, he lost his eyesight, so he used to listen to a Gemara Shir on the telephone, I think. So he told me once, the guy says it in Yiddish, he doesn't understand what he's talking about all the time. He said he didn't understand Yiddish because he spoke a fancy German. He could speak a plain German, it's almost the same as Yiddish, but he had a highfalutin German, so he didn't always understand the Yiddish. So what does it say? The Babli says, why were the Talmid HaChachamim in the days of the Tanakh and Sefer Dibrayam, why are they referred to as Sofrim? Because they used to count called Osir Shabbat Torah. What did they say? Shoyom Revav de Gochen, Chetzion Shal Osir Shal Sefer Torah. Gochen has a big Vav. Last week said it, no? When was it in? Shmini. So Vav of Gochen is a big letter. That's Chetzion Shal Osir Shal Sefer Torah. So the Gemara has a Shaila later. The Vav of Gochen is at the end of the first half. Boy Rav Yosef. Vav de Gochen, the big Vav. Mehai Gisa or Mehai Gisa? Is it the end of the first half or is it the beginning of the second half? So the B'nai Yeshua has a famous comment over here. There's a third possibility. Who says that there's an even number of letters and the Chumash, maybe there's an odd number. So the third possibility, the Vav is exactly the middle. Not the end of the first half, not the beginning of the second half. So B'nai Yeshua says, no. There's a passage in the Zohar on Shir HaShirim that the Rishishim Riba Osias Latur. There's 600,000 letters in the Sefer Torah. What is that idea all about? 600,000 letters in the Sefer Torah? Because there were Shishim Riba Jews at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That means every Jew has a chelik in the Torah, so to speak. Every Jew has a chelik in the Torah. Yeah, there were more than Shishim Riba. There was change. Shesh Me'al Self V'Shlosha Salam V'Chamesh Me'os V'Cham Yishim, I think. But the Zohar says, no, there were Shishim Riba Osias Latur. The problem is that there are not Shishim Riba Osias Latur. There's much less. So what is the Gemara, what is the Zohar talking about? So different, they give different suggestions.
What about all the tablets of them who weren't in favor of the Shishim Riba? Right,
it's a good kasha. Yeah, I don't know. In Yiddish folklore, they say, what about the Erev Rav? The Gerim. What about all the Erev, the Gerim? So they say, that's why there are Tagim on top. The Tagim are for the Gerim. And that's the... Rabbi Kiva was a descendant from Gerim. The Gemara says that. Rabbi Kiva was a descendant from Gerim. So that's where Rabbi Kiva used to darshan all the Tagim. Because the Tagim are for the Gerim. The Osias are for the Bnei Yisrael. Shishim Riba Osias Latara. And that's why they say the Taich and the Pasuk, Agera Shebekir Bechoyim, Yala Alach Maila, Moila Mata Terid Mata Mata. The Bnei Yisrael go on the letters. And the Gera Shebekir Bechoyim, he goes on the Tagim. Yala Alach Maila Moila, the Tagim are for the Gerim and the Osias are for the Bnei Yisrael. The question is, there aren't 600,000 Osias in the Torah. So they give different suggestions. You look in the Meforshim, on the Zohar and Shir HaShir, they give different suggestions. So some say, whenever there's a Psuch or a Stuma, you have to leave enough space to put 9 letters there. So that counts all the time as if you have 9 letters. And in between one word and the other, you have to have enough space to put a letter Yud, Ois Ketana. So in between every word and the next word, is counted as if you have a letter, and whenever there's a Psucha Stuma, it counts as if you have 9 letters. So it's still not going to work out. It's a problem. There's Shishim Ribo, Siyas Latar. Anyway, so the Pnei Yeshua says, the Zohar says in Shir HaShim that the Shishim Ribo, Osias La Torah, so they had, the Gemara had the same tradition. Shishim Riba Osias is an even number, it's not an odd number. So that's why they didn't consider the third possibility, that the Vav HaGochen is the middle, that there's an odd number of letters and the Vav HaGochen is Mamash Emtza. No, it's either the end of the first half, the beginning of the second half, because they had the same tradition as the Zohar, that the Shishim Riba Osias La Torah. There was a... forgotten. The Megala Mukas was lived in the same generation, the Bach and the Taz. He was a big Mekubal. He knew Halacha also, but he was big in Kabbalah. Kamnosan Shapira, I think his name was. Megala Mukas. So, it's Yadua, could be the Pnei Yeshua quotes it. I don't remember. Megala Mukas said that the name Yisrael is a Rosh HaTevis Yeshishim Riba Osias Latar. That all the Jewish people are rooted in the Chumash. Anyway, so the Gemara says that the Vav de Gochen is Emtza. So Rabbi Yosef Bar Shaila is at the end of the first half, beginning of the second half. So he didn't know. So they said, Omrolei, so the Talmidim said to Rabbi Yosef, Naisi Sefer Torah v'yem ninu. Let's take out a Sefer Torah, we'll sit them and count them and figure out, is the end of the first half, beginning of the second half. Just like, Mi lo yam rabba babachon lo zazim, Mishama shavi Sefer Torah v'nom. They had to count how many times says Malocha Malachas Malachto, there's a machloikis in Masecha Shabbos. How do you know there are lamates of his malachas? So the generally accepted opinion is Hachta b'mishkan chashiva korleav, Hachta la b'mishkan chashiva korle told it, that's the first daf in Bava Kama, that Beis HaMinal. So they knew, Asiyas HaMishkan, they knew all the activities that were done. So all of the major activities that were needed for Asiyas HaMishkan, Choriz HaRea, Koitz HaDosh, that's how we established that it's 39. But there's no mocha that has to be 39. Another Tana says, no, it's a gematria. Dvarim hadvarim, eila hadvarim. Says, eila hadvarim shatziv Hashem. So dvarim is miut rab mishnayim is 2. And aleph lamed hey, lamed is 30. And aleph is 1. And hey is 6. So it's 36. And dvarim is 2, miut rab mishnayim. And dvarim hadvarim, the hey ha'idiyah, makes it into 3. So it's 39. So the Pnei Yeshua says, anad gemar. That's only an asmachta. That's not a real yalfusa. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, and the Mishnah says at the end of the first perik in Chagiga, that Gematrios is Paparos Lachachma. It's not from the Midrash HaTorah Nidveshism. It's cute stuff, but you never establish any halachas based on that. The Gemara seems to have established halacha based on the Gematria by Nozir. I didn't know Stam Nazir Shloshim Yom. You can never have Nazir less than 30 days. You can have 50 days, 80 days, 50 years, but you have to have a minimum of 30 days. And if you didn't say how long, so Stam Nazir is going to be shloshim. It doesn't have to be in units of 30, but it has to be a minimum of 30. It's in units of days. It can't be a nozer for 40 and a half days. It's 41 days. How do you know stam zir shloshim yom? So the Gemara says, because it's a gematria. Kodosh yihye, gadel peres haroshe, yihye b'gematria tlosanam. Yud-hei is 30. So you see, you do establish a din based on a gematria. So the Rishonim say that's only an asmachta. We never establish any dinim based on gematrios. Gematrios are called parparos lachachma. It's not at all from the midrash that turned into reshes behem. So that drasha, dvarim hadvarim, eila hadvarim, that's only an asmachta. Then the third Tana has a different mocker. How do you know there are lamates of his malachas? I would have said that this mamish abala turim asmachta. And the Gemara says, no, this is a legitimate yalfusa. You take a chumash from bereshis till the end, lein kol yisrael, the word malocha, malaches, malachto will appear 39 times. If you add up every time, I would have said that's an asmachna on top of an asmachna. Gemara says no, that's a drosha gemara. How do you know you need 3 hadasim machloikas satana when you need 3 or 1? Rabbi Kiva holds 1, and we paskin lachatchili you need 3 because it says anaf eitz ovis, 3 words, so you need 3 hadas. And how do you know how many defanas you need in the sukkah? It says defanas. It says Sukkah. You add up how many times. How do you know how many zrikas you need by Korban Chatas? Karnas. So that's a real drosha gemura. I would have said that's an asmachta on top of an asmachta. No, that's a real drosha gemura. So one time it says, how do you know there are lamates of his malochas? You take a sefer Torah. It says the word malachto. Then it says, malachto. Every time it says malocha, malachas, malachto, you add them up from the beginning to the end of the Chumash, there are 39 times. The problem is there are many more than 39. So the different shittas in the Rishonim, which ones you don't count. But that's a drasha gemura. That's a drasha gemura. So that's what the gemura says. Lo zaza misham. I think that's the context. Achevi sefer Torah menom. they started to count. How many does it really say Malocha Malachta Maleches 39 times in the Chumash? So just like they took a Sefer Torah, they counted. So let's take a Sefer Torah now. We'll count. Omalez, Rabbi Yosef says, no, it's not going to help if we're going to take a Sefer Torah and count the letters. Inu biki b'chaseris v'yiseris. Anan loy biki inon. We are not baki b'chaseris v'yiseris. You're telling me that Vav degochen is emtsa ho'isios in the Sefer Torah. Chetzim shal lozios shal Sefer Torah. So bayas we're not biki. So that's a question. So there are more rights in Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah. Let's say in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah, you see that there's a mistake in the Sefer Torah. So we paskin, you put the Sefer Torah in there on Kodesh, and you take out a kosher Sefer Torah. You're not Yotze Kriyas HaTorah. The Rambam in the Mishnah Torah says you're not Yotze Kriyas HaTorah unless it's a kosher Sefer Torah. The Rambam in the Tshuvas writes that you can learn Kriyas HaTorah Baal Peh, and that's what they do b'chol arei svarot. You don't have to learn from a kosher Sefer Torah. It could be a puzzle of Sefer Torah. So the Kesef Mishnah says it's astira between the Rambam and the Tshuva and the Rambam and the Mishnah Torah. So he quotes the Tshuva's Rashba with Ma'ur on the Stira. So he says, obviously the Rambam changed his mind. He says the Tshuva was written earlier. That was the meaning, B'choloi Svara. They weren't makbid to learn Kriyas HaTorah from a kosher Sefer. And the Rambam and the Mishnah Torah wrote later that it's not good. So the Beis Yosef says, what if he learned the whole parsha? You're up to Shishi already. And then it comes out, there's mamash a mistake and the Sefer Torah. So do you have to lay over the whole parsha? So the Beis Yosef quotes his Rebbe, I think, one of his, Maria Buav, I think, that since the Rambam and the Tshuva writes in Mutar L'chatchila to lay from a puzzle of the Sefer Torah, so b'di'evit we rely on the Tshuva's Rambam. So you don't have to lay over again. So that's our practice. Whatever you already lay in the Yotze b'di'evit, but Mikal Labo, you have to take out a new Sefer Torah. So the Rama says in Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah, whenever you discover that the Sefer Torah is possible, you have to take out a new Sefer Torah, continue to learn from there to the end of the Sedra. But if there's a mistake, Chaseris and Viseris, you don't have to take out a new Sefer Torah. Man lay malon that the new Sefer Torah is more kosher than the old. Maybe the old one was kosher and the new one is possible. Because ain't on a bikin by Chaseris Viseris. He quotes this Gemara. We're no longer baki by Chaseris Viseris. So that's a pella. Sefer Torah shechosrei sachas is psula. So how are the mezuzahs kosher? How are the tefillin kosher? If we're not baki b'chaseris v'yiseris, how are the tefillin and mezuzahs kosher? So the Shagazari says, no, those four parshas we know very well. Shema v'yam shema kadesh v'kacha, there we are b'kim. The rest of the chumash we're not b'kim. But those four parshas, since all the sofim write tefillin and mezuzahs all the time, there we are b'kim. The rest of the Sefer Torah. Those dalapas. Okay. So what's with the rest of the Sefer Torah? Lechatchil, you should not lay in an apostle of Sefer Torah. B'di'evit, if you lay in an apostle of Sefer Torah, we rely on the Tshuva's Rambam. That's the Beis Yosef quotes the Mari Abu of his Rebbe. But lechatchil, you shouldn't. So we should lay in Kriyas HaTorah without a bracha. Why is that? Sofik bracha is law. Okay, you're not sure if the Sefer Torah is kosher. Sefer Torah shechos reisachas psula. Apella. So the Menchas Chinuch gives an answer. Menchas Chinuch says Sefer Torah Shachas Reisach Tefila means it says Bereishis Bora Lekim. It's missing a base, or it's missing the tough of Bereishis. The word is misspelled, or it says Bereishis with a samach instead of a tough. It's Chas Reisachas. But if you have, like in modern Hebrew, they write everything Mole. So in an Israeli newspaper, so it says Aharon Aleph Hey Reish Vav Nun Moshe Mem Vav Shin Hey. That's not the way it's spelled in the Chumash, but it's not incorrect spelling. That's not, according to the Masorah, that's not the correct spelling. But it's not a mistake. Not in Yiddish, there's an expression, the guy wrote the word, the name Noach with seven mistakes. He put a final nun in the beginning of the word, then he put Noach, final nun, vav, yud, aleph, and a small chaf. And that's only six mistakes. I don't know, that's the Yiddish expression, Noach with seven mistakes. Noach with seven guys. So if you have Noach spelled wrong, so that's a misspelling. But if you have Noach Nun Vav Ches, in modern Hebrew, that's the way you spell it. It's not in accordance with the Masorah. So the Menchas Chinuch says, the Sefer Torah Shechos, the Rambam says, Sefer Shechos Reisachas is psul, and you don't lane in the Sefer Torah like that. That's if it says a samach instead of a sof, or a sof instead of a samach. That's possible. But if it has a Molei Achaser, you can't say that it's not a misspelling. It's not spelled correctly according to the Masorah, but according to the dictionary. That's the word that's supposed to be. Even though it's not supposed to be Mole, it's not supposed to be Chos. The Menchas Chinuch said this, unless they put a Kriyok Siv, Kriya Ksivas Alacha Moshe Mesina. Unless they wrote the Kriya instead of the Ksiv, that passes the Sefer Torah. That's Alacha Moshe Mesina, Gemara says in the Dorm, Daf Lamaches. Kriya Ksivas Alacha Moshe has to be written like this. Let's say Kiyutan Mayim Alzera. So the Gemara darshins, because it's missing a Vav, Yutan Dumya Deitem Ayitin Denichle, whenever you have a stira between the Kriya and the Ksiv, said there's a machlekes in the Gemara, do you pass an Alacha like the Ksiv or like the Kriya? Yeshem La Mikra, Yeshem La Maser. So Tosis points out, Tosis in Sanhedrin and Avdalid, there's a whole sugya there about Yeshem La Mikra, Yeshem La Maser. Tosis, whenever you can establish the din based on a combination of both the Kriya and the Ksiv, then everybody agrees you should do that. So that's what we do. Kiyuta Mayim Alzera. Idarsh and the Kriya and the Ksiv are both together. So let's say you're going to have a Sefer Torah, and it says, Ki Yutan Mayim Alzera has a Vav. It's supposed to be a Kriya and Ksiv. It's supposed to be written Ki Yitain. It's supposed to lay in the Ki Yutan. So the Minchas Chinuch said, that's not the same as any other Mole and Chosa. That's a Kriya and a Ksiv. And we darshan the din from that, so that if it's written Mole with a Vav, then the Sefer Torah will be posted. But if it says Moshe with a Vav, it says Aaron with a Vav, he doesn't think you should passel video. That's how he says. Rav Soloveitchik said over a pshat from his father. It's very highly unlikely. His father said it, so he said it all. But the Pashta says that it's not at all. He said, the Gemara had a tradition. We have a lot of Masoris. So there was a Masor, the Vav de Gochen is Emtza Sefer Torah. So then, Boi Rabbi Yosef, is it the last letter of the first half or the first letter of the second half? Like the Pnei Shul points out, the Gemara was assuming that there's an even number of letters, not an odd number of letters. So the Gemara says, we don't know. So they say, well, let's take out a Sefer Torah and count. So Rabbi Yosef says, it's not going to help to count. If you're going to count, you'll ascertain whether it's the end of the first half, beginning of the second half. But since we have lost the Masorah, so this says, just a believe it or not. Even if you'll ascertain that it's the end of the first half or the beginning of the second half, so you have, in Yiddish, that's called the chikavit piece of information. Believe it or not, so you're not interested in believe it or not. So once the Masorah was lost, so that's not called part of the Masorah. Let's say, they ask in the Chidon HaTanach, where do you have in Chumash five words in a row that start with an Aleph? So we're Omaroy Eferdav Hasig Achalek. Okay, where do you have whatever, so all these, where do you have five words in a word that only have five words in a row that only have two letters each? I forgot already where it is.
Kiyar
al-Keska. Okay. So we have no Masor on this. These are, believe it or not, it's like Chikav information. Nice, but that's not called a Masor. See, here there was a Masor. The Vav de Gochen is Emtza, and the part of the Masor was at the end of the first day, beginning of the second half. So he said, since we have forgotten, which it is, Anan Labikinon doesn't mean like the Ramor. Ramor Shizalbechik said, no, not like the Ramor. We know what's Mole and Chose. But we've lost this piece of information. We lost the Masorah to know whether the Vav of Gochen is the end of the first half, the beginning of the second half. So even if we'll rediscover it by looking into the Sefer Torah, it won't be part of the Masorah. That's what he interpreted the Gemara. The Pashim Shad is certainly not so. Yeah.
If we actually are B'chiyim and Chaser somewhere, since our Torahs are the exact same numbers, then I'm inside that if you count, the Vav B'Gochen isn't the middle letter in the Torah.
The Vav B'Gochen is?
It's not the middle letter in the Torah.
Right, that's a major problem. The Vav B'Gochen is not the middle letter. That's a major problem. Same thing that Gemara says, Darosh Darash is Chetzion Shel Tevois. That's the middle of all of the words in the Sefer Torah. So we know that it's not so. So I happened to be glancing in the Tosis Rid the other day. So they have long footnotes on the bottom of the page, which I usually don't look at. So over here, he has a footnote. He says, look in the Torah Shlema. He tells you which volume, I forgot already. I didn't have a chance to look it up yet. But they have an essay on this topic. And he says, whoever wrote the essay in the Torah Shlema has a suggestion that in a Sefer Torah, there are letters that are larger and smaller than other letters. Like, so the ayin, I think, of Shema is big, and the dalet of Echad is big. Vav of Gochen is bigger than the other letters. Sometimes you have a small... a lot of times you have a small letter, like in the beginning of Divrei Hayomim. What does it say? Odom. Odom Sheis Enosh. I think Odom there is a big aleph. Odom is a big aleph. Sometimes you have small letters, sometimes big letters. So whoever wrote the essay suggests Vav de gachen chetzin shall osi is the unusual letters. It's not the middle of all the letters that is Sefer Torah. If you add together all the big letters and the small letters, the vav gachen is in the middle. The end of there's an not like the Pnei Yeshua said. Shishim ri ba'osi is the whole Torah from the beginning to the end. He's not assuming like the Pnei Yeshua. He's assuming that they're only counting the letters that are unusually large, unusually small. And Darash Darash means this is a Chetzion Shal Tevas where there's a double word. That like Yaakov, Yaakov, Abraham, Abraham. Whatever has the same word repeated twice. A Darash Darash is Chetzion Shal Tevas Kfulos. That's what it means. Got to see the essay to see if it holds any water. Okay. Could be. What's the Hizgaloch Vesanesig like Alech? That's Chetzion Shal Psukim. That's the middle of all the psukim in the Chumash. Chasmena chazim yar is antilim. So the ayin of yar, ayin the yar is chetzion shel tilim. That's the middle of tilim. Hurach mechaper avoin is a chetzion of the psukim in tilim. Okay. Boy Rabbi Yosef just so. Anad la bekin. Yeah. Boy Rabbi Yosef is same shalev. His galoch mehai gisa or mehai gisa. His galoch is right in the middle of all the chetzion shel psukim. His galoch is chetzion shel psukim. So Rabbi Yosef had a shaila, he assumes that there's an even number of psukim in the Chumash. How many psukim are there in the Chumash? So the Gemara says a few lines later, Tana Rabbanan, three lines from the bottom. Chamesha salaf mishmona meyas v'shmona mishmona psukim. 5,888. So that's an even number. So Rabbi Yosef has a suffix. His galach is at the end of the first half, beginning of the second half. On the margin on the right-hand side, so they have another two girsas. The one girsa is that it's Tuf Nun Hei. So that's an odd number of psukim. So what do you mean is at the end of the first and beginning? Maybe it's the middle. It's an odd number of psukim. The Pnei Yeshua said that they had a tradition, Shishim Ribo Osios La Torah, so it's an even number of letters. Even number of letters, so the Gemara had a suffix whether the Vav of Gochain is the end of the first half, beginning of the second half. But if you say the correct reading should be Taf Taf Nun Hei or Taf Taf Mem Hei, unless you have the Girsa Taf Taf Mem Beis, okay, so that's an even number. As the Zeis Ranan has the Girsa. Zeis Ranan is the commentary of the Mogen Abraham on the Alkut Shemoni. In the recent editions of the Alkut Shemoni, usually they have a kitzur of the Zeis Ranan. They only left in what he says, the Pirush Amilas. But in the old editions of the Zeis Ranan, sometimes he has Shtikla Torah there. He has what to say on the Alkut Shemoni. By the same author as the Mogen Avraham on Shulchan Aruch.
All this has nothing to do with halachos.
Yeah. No nafkemina lalach. Yeah. Just Masorah. Yeah, like you have in the Masorah and the big Mikros Gedolah, so they say how many times this construct of this verb appear in Tanakh? How many times does it say v'hizgaloch? How many times does it say whatever? A funny construct of a verb. So they always tell you how many times in the Tanakh does it say Dorosh Darash? So these are all Masorahs. So the Gemara is recording some of the Masorahs. So they had a suffix by Rabbi Yosef. His galach is the middle of the psukim. Is mehai gisa, mehai gisa. He assumes that there's an even number of psukim. It's at the end of the first half, beginning of the second half. Amle Abaye. All right, you said before. Anan lo bikina b'chaseris v'yiseris. The Poshe Pshat Nigmar is against Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. Anan lo bikina b'chaseris v'yiseris. So we don't know. But psukim we do know. So let's take out a Sefer Torah and count the psukim, will ascertain whether his galach is the end of the first half, the beginning of the second half. He says, "Omle abai psukim iya laisa lemninu." The psukim we know, we don't know all the letters. We have a mali and a chasis stuck in somewhere where it doesn't belong. But can we know? So he responds, "Nami psukim nami loy bekiinon." We're not so clear about where the sof pasuk is. Why? The chiyosa rabacha barada Omar, when he came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, he told us b'marova in Eretz Yisrael. Poskalela haikro, the tlosa psukim, in Babel, there was one pasuk, and Eretz Yisrael, they broke it up into three psukim. Vayamashanon Moshe, inenech boi lecha ba'avon, ba'avishman, b'dabra, gamacha yaminu li'oilam. So in Eretz Yisrael, they had it as three psukim. That's what some of the Mephoshim say. The Gemara says in Megillah, that in Eretz Yisrael, they had a 3-year cycle. The Maroba, they had a 3-year cycle of finishing the whole Sefer Torah. The Marshal in the Amshel Shlomo has a whole long page. So one of them is that in Eretz Yisrael they made Simchas Torah once every 3 years. It would either be on Pesach, Shavuos, or Sukkos. And in Bavel, they made the Siyum Simchas Torah was every year. On the day, second day of Shemini Atzeres was Simchas Torah, they made the Siyum every year. So how come in Eretz Yisrael it took 3 years to finish the whole Sefer Torah? Because he said every long pasuk that in Bavel was one pasuk, in Eretz Yisrael was 3 pasukim. So if it's 3 psukim, every aliyah has to be 3 psukim. So he got 3 times as many psukim. So it took him 3 years till he finished the whole Kriyas HaTor. But in Bavel, they had 1/3 the number of psukim. So they finished the whole Sefer Torah in 1 year. Years ago, the conservatives used to lay Kriyas HaTor like the old practice. They would only lay 1/3. But on Bereishis Shabbat, they would lay the 1/3 of Bereishis. Parshas Noach, they would lay the 1/3 of Parshas Noach. Lech Lecha, they would lay the 1/3 of Parshas Lech Lecha. Rabbi Soloveitchik, and make fun. That's not what they did in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, they would lay the 1/3 of Bereishis. Then Parshas Noach, they would lay the 2/3 of Bereishis. Then Parshas then Lech Lecha, they would lay the 3/3 of Bereishis. They would go in order. Not that 1 year you do the 1/3, and the next year you do the 2/3. That there never was such a minik. Then the Gemara says, how many psukim there are on Tilim? Tosis says, how can it be? It's impossible. Tosis doesn't understand how can it be. Yeah, then the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, 2 lines from the second line from Balam, Shidantam Lovanach, Shiud Divitarim Bechudodim Beficho. You should have sharp. You should know the answer right away. Shim Yishoch. If someone asks you, what's the din in this case? But don't say, well, a lot of times I give bechinas for the boys to join the kol. So I ask any question, I say, well, it depends. And everybody makes a chakira. I ask, what's the din? I didn't ask the philosophers. Everything is always with a chakira. The Gemara says, you're not yotze tamtar, it has to be mechudod and mefich. You have to say, what's the answer? If you shall look at them, I'll tegam them. V'taymalo, don't sell it. Depends on this. It's a machloikas where the Eidim Sira Kar said, what is the din? Halacha emor lamiyad, shenemor, emor lachach machosiyad. Has to be bor lachal kachoscha, shiasur lach. You have to know clearly. Tosus and all the Rishonim ask a kasha, the bottom Tosus, there's a Gemara in Bovim Metzia. It says, you should, when you find an aved in the street, you should pick it up and hold it. Adrosh achicha osam. Till the other guy who lost it comes, you put up the sign, I found the safer. Let the other guy come and identify what safer he lost. And he has simonim, that he wrote something on Daf Lamin, and he wrote something on Daf Mem. Sure, he'll give a simon. So the Gemara interprets an additional level of interpretation. Posh b'shat, adrosh achicha osa, till the Baal HaAveda will come and request of you, could you please give me back my Aveda? So the Gemara says, drosh achicha, you should interrogate achicha. Don't give back the Aveda unless you check him out to make sure that he's not a faker. He's not fooling you. So how do you check him out? So the Gemara says, you need simon. You only give back the Aveda if the one who claims that he lost it is going to give simon to identify the Aveda. Or, the Gemara says, if he's a tzurva midirabbanon, if he's a tamachacham, dolo mishane bidiburei, in the days of the Gemara, tamir hachacham are known as honest people. Unfortunately, it's not always the same. So in the days of the Gemara, they were known as honest people. They were never, if you have a Talmid Chacham, who's never Mishani B'dibur, he never tells a lie, except for one of the 3 cases where it's permissible and recommended to tell a lie. What are the 3 cases that is permissible and recommended to tell a lie? So one of them is B'misichta. That's what they said. Sur Ma'abon, Mishani B'dibur, he's allowed and recommended he should tell a lie. If someone starts to ask me, did my wife go to mikveh? It's none of his business. I don't have to tell him what's doing in my private home. Or someone, I was visiting by someone, I went to someone to collect for tzedakah, and someone, another schnorr wants to know, did he give you a lot of money? Did he give you a little money? I'm going to tell him he gave me a lot of money. So all the mishalochim are going to go hold the guy up. So you're not supposed to tell the truth. or I stayed by someone for Shabbos and he treated me very nicely. So people are going to ask, how does he treat the guests? If I'm going to say he's a wonderful Matnas Archim, so everybody's going to go pester him. Everybody's going to call him up. They want to visit by him. So that's not fair. So that's Biush Pisa. You're allowed to tell a lie. We recommend you should tell a lie. And then B'misichta, if the people ask, did you ever learn Zroim? So the guy knows Zroim very well. He should say, I don't really know Zroim. I never learned. It's permissible and recommended to tell a lie out of humility. Anivus. B'misichta is for Anivus. And Bepuria, it's none of their business whether my wife went to mikvah or not. So Mishum Tznius, it's permissible and recommended to tell a lie. And Biushpiza, in order that people shouldn't harass the other guy, it's permitted to tell a lie over there. So Tosfos says, here it says, if someone asks you, then you got to give him, shoot out the answer right away, straight, 1, 2, 3. The Gemara says, you should tell a lie, say you don't know. So Tosfos says that all the Rishonim said the same answer. Talking about two different things. Here the Gemara is talking, someone has a shayla aloch amai, so we got a bench mezuman. We want to know chazaras hashatz. The chazan said mashav baruch. He said the same talamata. Do you have to daven over again? So the guy says, I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? We're in the middle of chazaras. We got to know the chazan made a mistake. So if you know, you got to say straight. The feirish, what's the din? But someone's writing an almanac. He's writing in a encyclopedia. So he wants to know how much of shas did you cover. So it's none of your business. So I say, I never learned Kutch. I never learned Tara. So you don't have to tell the truth that I know it all by heart. You can say, I never learned it. I don't know it. It's recommended that you should tell a lie. If it's halacha l'maisa, or someone is stuck in the Tosfos. Tosfos quotes the Gemara Chulin. You don't, when there's no Gemara Chulin available, so you can't figure out. But anyway, yesterday, you know Chulin, what does Tosfos mean? You got to help him out. Tell him what it says. You don't prav aniva, so say, I never learned Chulin, I don't know. So the guy's going to waste another 20 minutes until he's going to find out what it means. So if it's Nogei L'maisa, you have to give a Psak Alach L'maisa, or someone's stuck in a Gemara or something, so you help him out. But if just the guy's writing an almanac, he's collecting all the irrelevant information. So don't tell him. Don't tell him. That's the Gemara. Then the Gemara quotes the Psukim in Tehillim. About the Gemara's interpreting kechitzim biyadagibe came b'nei hanurim. My Rebbe has talmidim. So just like you shoot arrows and you accomplish something, so when you teach Torah to others, so you accomplish chisagibe shnunim, chitzecha shnunim. Okay. Then the Gemara says lo yivoshi kidabra soivim bashar. What does it mean kidabra soivim bashar? So the Gemara has a famous comment. Amar apchia barab afil ha'ov b'nova rabba talmidim shoske matara b'shar echod. When the father and the son of the Rebbe and the Talmud are learning, they'll be nasim oivim zelazet. The Rebbe says this, and the Talmud says, no, it doesn't make any sense. It's wrong. You read it wrong. I read it differently. He's going to argue with each other. So that's nasim oivim zelazet when they're learning. But at the end, after they finish learning, veinim zazim isham, when they finish learning and they close the Gemaras, achinasim oavim zelazet. Where is the mocker for that? That after the fish line, they're disagreeing in the middle of learning. Kachi darker shalter. The rivet is massing on the ram with such sharp lashonis. That's how you can't be dainty. The rivet is disagreeing. The Rama made a mistake. It's against the Gemara. So he says, off his raka. The rivet has such sharp lashonis. Off his mind. Doesn't know what he's talking about. Enkan loymelach loytavlin. It's all wrong. Because he's talking aloch ha-maisa. But at the end of the day, you have to be mechabit each other. After you finish learning, there is a there are quite a few books written about the Miri Yeshiva in Europe when they went on the Transcontinental Railroad to Vladivostok, and then they went to Japan, and then they went to Shanghai. So the Transcontinental Railroad went for over a week. It kept on traveling. So it wasn't a chartered train. There were non-Jews on the train also. So in one of the, I'm sure there's more than one, I saw one of their books where they wrote about the whole story of the Hatzolah of the Miri Yeshiva. So they translated from Polish into English the memoirs of one of the Polish goyim who was on the train also. So it was obvious to him that these people were Jewish. And they had these big books, and they were always learning. He says he can't make out what's going on. When the big books were opened, they were screaming at each other, insulting each other. Pyre, moron, idiot, you don't know what you're talking about. And the minute they were closed, the big books, they would be the best of friends. They couldn't understand what's going on here. Do they like each other? Do they hate each other? They were insulting. So that's mamish this gemara. When you learn and you hold that the other one made a mistake, nasim oivim, kidabas oivim bashar. Mamish like an enemy and attacking each other with sharp lashonis. And then lazaz mishamach nasim oavim zeze. Assume it's not a violation of kvod harav kibarav. When the Talmud attacks the Rebbe sharply, or the son attacks the father, that's the way kachi darka shel Torah. You have to be sharp about it, but you have to be careful. Some people are learning yeshivas, but this takifas. So when they get married, they treat their wife like that also.
So,
yeah, they think it's a chavrusa. So that's a prescription for a ruined marriage. There were some people who never got married. They learned in yeshiva so long, so they got so used to attacking their chavrusa, so they when they dated girls, that no one wanted to marry them. You got to be careful. The Gemara says about Dovid HaMelech. Gemara in Moed Kotan has an Eilu Megachna. Dovid HaMelech, when he would learn Torah, he would be ma'aden atzma kitoilas. He would be very soft like a worm. And when he would be Yotzei L'Mochama, he would be Maksha Atzma Keitz. He would be very tough. What's the pasuk? Eile Shmosa Gibar Mashele David. Pasuk in Malachim, I think. Malachim, Shmuel, I forgot already where. So Gemara interprets an additional level of interpretation. Eile Shmo, this is Givuros of Shel David. The David HaMelech, when there are boys who learn in Hezli Yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael. So when they fight in the army, they fight and they shoot to kill. And they shoot to kill. When they come back to the base medrash, they know how to be ma'adan atzma kitoilas when you talk and learning. Unless you're debating with the chavrusa, okay? So then you have to be able to use the both midas. Tana Rabbanim is samtem. Sounds like sam, a medication. A pharmaceutical item. The samtem, samtam. The Torah is a samtam. Imshel Torah ki sam chayim. Moshe Lodom, she gives b'no, and he gives them a medication. That's with samtem, the Torah is a samtem. Then the Gemara quotes, when the Ribbono Shel Olam tells men, kacha kodesh bocha amal lehem liso b'ni, barasi yetzahar, barasi la Torah tablet. God implanted the yetzahar within us, and he composed the Torah that should serve as the tablet. And matem oskem batorah, and matem nisarim biyodo. Shenema haloim teitiv says, what is the word teitiv? And the second white line. The word teitiv has the connotation, Rashi says, the word teitiv has connotation of ki lekach tov nesati lechem. Teitiv has the connotation of liman ator. In teitiv, if you learn lekach tov, you learn the Torah, it says, you will be above. You will be above the Yetzirah. Rashi says, tisnasei al yitzrecha. You will control it. Then may not tem oskem atorah, then la pesach hatas revitz. Atem nimsorm biyodo. Then the Yetzirah will be sholot on you. So apparently the drugstore doesn't only sell aspirins. They sell 1,000 different medications. Depends what your problem is. If you have one problem, you need this. You have another problem, you need the other thing. You need different things. So apparently the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah was shoylet until the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, until the beginning of the Baal Sheni period. So the Ika Tavlin to fight that Yetzirah apparently was Lima Torah Shebichzav. So there wasn't so much work done on Torah Shebaal Peh in the earlier generations. And after the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, when Mispalat HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be Mevatel Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah, so then came a new Yetzirah of Minus, of Apikursus. So apparently the main Tavlin of Limud HaTorah to serve as an antidote for that Yetzirah is the Limud of Torah Shebaal Peh. So that's what the Gemara says in Bava Basra in the first Perek. That Bizman HaZeh, the Iker emphasis should be placed on Limud Torah Shebaal Peh. That's not a reason to neglect all of the Chof Dalet Kisvei HaKodesh. The emphasis should be placed on the Torah Shebaal Peh.
What do they? I heard what they call a tablet. You should have said before. But I forgot the answer.
Oh, I don't know. That's what it means. It's a
spice.
Yeah.
So when you bring a spice for a sickness.
Mm-hmm. The Gemara before called it a sam tam. Yeah. Okay. So Belineta, tomorrow we will either continue or learn the parsha. What do people want? Okay. I have to ask Mordechai. to take a legitimate democratic vote. Okay. I'll take a democratic vote. I think that's what he defends.
Oh, yeah.